The Christian life is hard. There are many challenges. There are many temptations. There are many sacrifices. Sometimes we lose friends because of our commitment to Christ. Sometimes we feel lonely because of our commitment to Christ. Sometimes we're overwhelmed by temptation and we become very discouraged. Sometimes a true believer will get so discouraged in their walk with God that they wonder if they're even saved at all. The devil is prowling about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, and that someone is you. But there's encouragement in the Scriptures. Would you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. Last week we looked at 12 through 17. This week, if God wills, I would like to look at 18 through 25. Romans 8, 18 through 25. Please stand with me as we read the Holy Scriptures. For I consider, verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we've been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. Would you pray with me, please? Would you please pray right now that God would bless you by helping you truly to understand the beautiful encouragement and truth in this passage? Pray that God would touch you this morning. Would you pray for the other people in this room? Perhaps to the right, to your left, in front of you, or behind, that God would help them understand this passage. That person sitting next to you, the person behind you, in front of you, is your brother or sister in Christ, and they're struggling to live for Jesus. Pray that they'd receive the encouragement of the Scriptures today and have the strength from Christ to persevere. Now, would you pray for me? That I'd be filled with the Holy Spirit and preach this passage as it was intended to be preached. Gracious Heavenly Father, feed your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. This passage is awesome. Look at verse 18. Look at this beautiful, beautiful passage. Paul says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Let me put this in context for you. This is the Apostle Paul. This is amazing. The Apostle Paul was beaten for his faith. He was imprisoned for his faith. He spent a night in the open sea for his faith. He suffered hunger and thirst for his faith. He suffered greatly for his faith. And he says this, everything that I have suffered and everything that you will suffer and everything that our brothers and sisters around the world suffer for their faith is simply not worth comparing with the eternal reward. I have sat face to face with a man who has been in prison for his faith. And as I've explained to you before, the prisons in the country where this man lives is nothing like our prisons. You sleep on a cold concrete floor with the window open in freezing cold conditions. You are beaten. You are made fun of. Often you're forced to stand the entire day. And when these brothers and sisters are told to deny Christ, they refuse. Because they know that the sufferings of this life are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. You remember Pastor Saeed, who was in prison in Iran. What you may have heard me say is that when Pastor Saeed was in prison in Iran, there were also 69 other pastors in prison in the same place. Often these pastors are women. Often they are beaten. They go to prison. And they serve a 10-day sentence. And the goal of the 10-day sentence is to break them. They don't want them in prison for years and years and years. They make it intense persecution for 10 days so that they can solve the problem. And at the end of 10 days, they say, look, we're going to let you go, but this is what you have to do. You have to get out of here. You have to leave this city and never come back. And they refuse because they have a heart for their brothers and they have a heart for their fellow people that need to know Christ. Because they know that the sufferings of this life are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. Amen? What are you suffering for Christ? You are. Remember, we said this last week. Paul said in 2 Timothy, all those who choose to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. Maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe your family is turning against you because you've chosen to follow Jesus. Maybe you're in love with a young man or a young woman and they don't love Jesus and you're choosing to follow Jesus and it's going to cause you to take a step of faith to break up with this person. Maybe there's persecution at work because of your beliefs which are unpopular, which are becoming more and more unpopular. What is your Christianity costing you? I'm here to tell you that whatever it is, the sufferings of this life are not worth comparing with the glory that will be ours in eternity. This is what is so important about our children's ministry. This is what is so important about our youth ministry. And this is what is so important about parenting. About parenting. Because you are preparing your kids to follow Jesus in an environment that you know nothing about. I don't know what this country will be like in 50 years. We dare not put our faith in Donald Trump. Don't sit there and say, oh, Trump is president, everything's going to be okay. No! We have no idea what this country will be like in 20 years, in 10 years, in 50 years, when you and I are gone and the next generation is sitting in this room worshiping God. How hard will it be for them to be a Christian? When you're discipling your kids, when you're doing youth group, when you're leading Trinity Kids, please keep in mind that you're preparing the next generation to follow Jesus in the midst of persecution. And please make sure that they know that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. Number one in your notes. Our present temporary sufferings cannot compare with our future eternal reward. Our present temporary sufferings cannot compare with our future eternal reward. Let's take verses 18 through 22. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Paul, what are you talking about? He explains it. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility. Not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. What is he talking about? Paul says the creation will be set free from its slavery to corruption. The creation is corrupted. That's what Paul says. What is he talking about? Please keep a bookmark in Romans 8 and flip all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3. If you're new to Bible study, this is called the fall. The fall. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The cruelest lie ever. Satan said, "God knows that you've got a blessing coming if you eat that tree, and he's keeping it from you." What a cruel lie. James says that every perfect gift comes from who? God. Verse 5. God knows, I read that already, I'm sorry. Verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So tragic. Adam and Eve live in perfect harmony with God, and now God comes and they're running from him in guilt and shame. Praise God that Jesus Christ has come so that we don't have to run from God, we run to him. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate." You see, this is the beginning of pride. God convicts of sin, and what the man should do is humble himself and say, "God, save me from my sin." But instead he says, "She did it." Oh, Trinity Baptist, when God convicts you of sin, don't point here, don't point here. Own it, admit it, because he's trying to help you. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." Now look at verse 17. Then to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' cursed is the ground." Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you have dust, and to dust you shall return. God created paradise. But number two in your notes explains Romans 8, 19 through 22. Number two, because sin entered the world, the whole human race and all of creation is corrupted. Sin is corruption. Amen? Sin is corruption. And we know that we, though we are created in the image of God, are corrupted because of our sin. We are not what God intended us to be. But we're not the only ones. Paul says in Romans 8 that all of creation has been corrupted by sin. All of creation is under the curse. Remember Romans 3:23, all have sinned and what? Fall short of the glory of God. Guess what? All of creation falls short of the glory of God. All of creation is not what God intended it to be. And therefore, Paul says in Romans 8, number 3 in your notes, all creation is eagerly awaiting its rescue from corruption. But it will be rescued, amen? It will be rescued. You can leave Genesis 3. Please keep a bookmark in Romans 8. We'll never leave Romans 8 until we're done this morning. But please join me in Revelation 21. And look at these incredibly beautiful words. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Amen? For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. No longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Trinity Baptist number 4 in your notes. One day God will transform his corrupt creation. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. All of creation will be set free from the curse. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. All of creation will be set free from the curse. Let's go back to Romans 8. For those of you who've never read the Bible, I just read the beginning and the end. And I want to tell you, you don't want to miss every page in between. Romans 8, 18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." The redemption of our bodies. Number 5 in your notes. Just as the creation will be set free from corruption, so will we. Just as the creation will be set free from corruption, so will we. Are you experiencing physical suffering today? Are you getting older? Are you getting weaker? Have you experienced an injury? Are you experiencing that your body physically, mentally, emotionally, in every way is breaking down? Are you living with pain day after day after day? Brothers and sisters, this is not the end. We groan, longing for Christ to return. Amen? But this only applies to believers. Look at verse 23. "We ourselves," and then it qualifies it. Who is the we? Who is the we in verse 23 that longingly awaits the Savior? It is the people that have the first fruits of the Spirit. Do you see it? "We ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons." Number 6 in your notes. The Holy Spirit is God's pledge and down payment to us that he will complete the salvation that he started in us. Isn't that awesome? The Holy Spirit is God's pledge and down payment to us that he will complete the salvation he started. If you are born again here this morning, the Holy Spirit lives inside your heart, and that is God saying, I will save you totally from sin one day. And to guarantee that, I'm putting my Spirit in your heart. So awesome. Brothers and sisters, listen carefully. We have been saved. It's done. We have been set free from the bondage to sin. It's done. We have been forgiven. It's done. But we are still in these corrupt bodies. Our salvation is not complete yet. We still are tempted, and we still give in every day. And we're still in this rotten, corrupt world. The creation is groaning. Thank you, Peanut. That was perfect. See, that was Peanut saying amen. We are still in this rotten, corrupt world, but just as creation will be transformed and saved from the curse, so will we. And we eagerly await that day. Amen? We eagerly await that day. And in case you've never read the Bible, I want to show you what's going to happen to believers on that day. Keep your bookmark in Romans 8 and join me in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 50, 5-0. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Amazing. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Doesn't that make sense to you? All the struggles that you have in this body, you're thinking, how am I going to live forever in this? It's not going to happen. The perishable cannot inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised. How? Imperishable. And we will be changed. For this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Trinity Baptist Church, therefore, because of that, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil in the Lord is not in vain. And that brings us to verse 24 in Romans. Go back to Romans 8 with me, please. Romans 8:23. And not only this, but we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. What did our Lord say to Thomas? Thomas said, he's alive? No. Unless I see his hands and his side, you're not convincing me. And Jesus showed up. And he said, Thomas, look. Look at my hands, look at my side, see and believe. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus said this. He said, you've seen and you believe. Blessed are those, Trinity Baptist, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And that's our privilege. Hope that is seen is not hope. Who hopes for what he sees? But if we, Trinity Baptists, through our suffering, through our trials, through our tribulations, through our temptations, through our defeats, if we do not see and yet believe, that's hope. And that brings us right back to verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this life are not worth comparing with a glory that will be revealed to us. Trinity Baptist Church, pray for each other, love each other, encourage each other, serve each other, and let's hope together. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful passage. And we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, together as one body, we would wait eagerly for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.